Just want to start off by welcoming everyone, and this class should be Lunish Masr Chamachai from Abbas Dov Pinchas, Shindel Bas Moshe, HaRav Yisrael Noach Ben Yitzchak Matas Yahu, Rabbi Zandina Bas Elchanan, Rabbi Zachari Shimon Ben Yitzchak HaKoin, and Chana Mendel Bas Yisrael, and Refuah Shalema to Zachariah Dov Ben Peral Shira, Rafael Chaim Meir Ben Simachasha, Liba Ahuva Bas Chana Riva, and Pesach Bitzalel Ben Chaya Batsheva.
Okay. I think it would be appropriate, being that we've been s spending quite a number of Matzah Shabbosais, and this is the fourth shiur, that we should start off once again with a Kapitel Tehillim. And we'll choose a kapitel which is very much rooted in the topic and in the subject that we are talking about. And here we go. Kapitel Kuf Aleph, Shalmal Sasoina, Yomi Yoyim Hashem Shlo Yakech Yerech Balayla Na Yishmarach Mikol Ro Yishmas Hashecha Ana Yishmar Seis Chaviyach Me'ata Ve'ad Ilom. It's brought down in the Medrash that when Yaakov Avinu ran away from his home place in the comfort of his mother and father, and he was running away, and Yaakov Avinu arrived by the Be'er, and this was after Eliphaz attacked him. And he realized that he's very much in a different situation than his Zayda Avram Avinu, who was sending Eliezer to find the Shidduch, and he was laden with riches and all sorts of tremendous assets that made the Shidduch for Yitzchak extremely desirable. Some things never change, do they? And Yaakov Avinu arrives with nothing, the shirt on his back. So what does he do? He says, "Esa einai el harim me ayin yava yezri," and it's brought down that that's when, even though David HaMelech, this is the Tillim, but as with quite a number of kapitlach, the kapitlach were formulated much earlier, and then they were put back in either the form of what we have Tillim now, or they were forgotten in David HaMelech Baruch HaKodesh. Restated, reworded the same tefillahs that those original authors did. But over here, Yaakov Avinu asks the Rabban Shalom, Esa einai el harim me ayin yavo yezri. He's totally lost. He doesn't know where to go. He has nothing, no direction, no help, no support. He is in the proverbial crisis. And then Yaakov Avinu stops for a moment and he realizes something awesome and extraordinary. And that is what we've been talking about. That's what we have the opportunity each and every day to realize the answer of what Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheba'avos, the chosen of the Avos, came up with his own answer. He asked the question and he came with his own answer. Ezri me'yem Hashem oisushmain goretz. That is the answer. The answer is we recognize where we are holding, we recognize the trouble that we're in, we recognize the challenge that's in front of us, we don't know where to go, where to turn, what to do, and the answer Yaakov Avinu gave to us was Ezri me'im Hashem, Oysa Shmaim, the Rabban Shem that made a world, the Rabban Shem that created a world, could fix my world as well. So with having said that, I believe that we got through some of the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. We even covered Before that, we covered the bracha of Atah Chonein. We covered the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu, and there's really another part of another bracha which is very similar to Hashiveinu, and that is Salachna. Salachna, which is a bracha that we ask for forgiveness of the Eibishter. Just to remind you, last week what I mentioned in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, that the art scrolls, Siddurim, were really one of the first to incorporate this, and that is before they begin with the translation of a bracha, they just write one word. One word on top is a header to give you the ability to focus, to know what you're asking for. So over here in the bracha of Salachna, which is a bracha of Slicha, a bracha of forgiveness. So over here, we also mention, which we don't mention in the other brachas, Avinu. We mentioned the Rabban Shalom being our father, which we spoke about at length in the earlier Shiurim. And over here, the reason why these two brachas are so much interconnected with one another, the Hashiveinu and the Salachna, is because we're talking to the Eibishter to ask him, we want the connection, we want the relationship. So in order to be able to put the relationship on healthy and firm ground, the first thing that we do and say to Eibishter, you know, maybe we faltered a little bit. Maybe we stepped to the side. Maybe we lost our focus. Maybe we lost our drive. Maybe we weren't as engaged in the ultimate goal of every single human being, and that is to be connected to the Eibishter. So you know what? We're asking you, not only as the Melech that we stand before and supplicate and daven, we ask you as a father, as a tata. A father, a parent is always, there's no such thing as asking again and again and again when we falter and you do something wrong. A parent is always waiting anxiously to hear their child step back and say, I love you. I want the relationship. And that's why we begin with Hashiveinu and then we say, Salach, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want to do better. I'm committed. My intention is to go forward. Real intention. And that's why these two brachas are introduced with the Avinu, that we're asking the Rabbeinu Shlomo alone. Now, it's interesting. The Rush writes, who is the Rabbeinu Asher, one of the primary Rishonim of the Gemara and a contributor to so much in Torah. He lived from 1250 to 1327. And just to give you a time frame of when he lived in. And he writes, imagine, we're saying Salachna and Salachna Avinu Kichatanu. And the last thing that we're thinking about is that we're asking for forgiveness. So this bracha he writes is extremely important. It cannot be the height of irony that we're asking for forgiveness and our mind is somewhere else. If we're asking for forgiveness, we have to be earnest and we have to be very focused on that. Otherwise, what's the bracha becomes almost an indictment. We don't want to do that. We're asking for forgiveness and we're not really sincere about it. And it's very hard to be sincere every single day, every single time you daven, but at least to know what the goal is. The goal is to, when we say the words, we should have in mind. And as I said, you don't need me to present to you the regular translation of what you could see. You see over here, there's several things that are mentioned. There's mentioned chet, there's mentioned pesha, what the difference is. You ladies could see, you could look it up. One is something which is a sin done purposely. One is a negligence, out of negligence. So that's really the kavana of this bracha, to really feel that if there was something that we have to mend, if there's something that we have to do some corrective measures, Rabbeinu Shlomo, be patient with us. Please allow us to not take this roadblock that we ourselves placed. And it should be something which really distances us from you. Now, the next bracha, Geula, one can make a very, I think, common and even a understandable mistake of this bracha, Geula, is for the Geula of Klal Yisrael. And that is really the approach of some Rishonim, of some of the earlier sources. But the way that Rashi explains this bracha in the Gemara, which presents the brachas that we have in the Siddur that comprise Shemayin Esrei. Rashi explains that this bracha is for personal redemption. It's a very important bracha in that sense. Sometimes a person finds himself in a bind that you have to get extricated. There has to be some way out. You're in a challenge. You're in a crisis, lo yaleinu. And you need a geula. And Rashi writes this bakasha, this bracha was set aside to ask the Eibishter that if lo yaleinu, if Hashem should watch us and guard us, we're in a situation that's challenging us, that's challenging our family, that's challenging somebody near and dear to us that we know about. It's a bracha, it's a request, it's a plea, it's a supplication to the Eibishter to help us, redeem us, take away our tzaris. And that's really it's a very big motivation for us to utilize the bracha. And you know what? And if we're, Hashem it has allowed us to be safeguarded and we're fine, but maybe there are others. Maybe there are others that could need a gula from time to time to have in mind the other person. Then the next bracha is Rifa'enu. Rifa'enu, we understand, is a bracha that's set aside to ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for refuas. Now, it's very much the incumbent upon us to realize that a person is permitted and a person is required to do a shtadlus. A person is required to make every effort. Lo yaleinu, a person needs to take care of a medical issue. What are you going to say? Oh, Rabban Shlomo, you're my doctor. Well, if a person is on such a sublime madrega, maybe he doesn't have to go to a doctor. But 99.9% of people, maybe 100% of the people, don't fit into that category. We need to seek medical advice and medical direction. But we shouldn't think for a moment that they're the ones that are healing us. No matter how difficult it is, even if you had to wait 3 months to get a doctor's appointment with this top physician in the globe, in the country, in his field, we should know, Ani Hashem Reifecha. And that's what has to accompany us when we say and we daven. And even whether we're davening for ourselves, we're davening for others, we have to realize, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're turning to you. We know that we're doing whatever we are required to do in seeking the medical advice, the medical direction that we have to take. But we know and we recognize that you are Kikel Melech Roifei Nemrov Rachmanata. You are the real true doctor. You are the Rachaman. You are the one that could create refuah without side effects, without the pain and the grueling torture that sometimes a person, Leoleno, has to go through. That is what we really have to have in mind. It's a tremendous moment of clarity and betochen that we have to be able to express. And these are one of the brachas that, yes, a person could have a list, a person could have a note in front of them, who they're going to be mispal for, who they're going to ask the Rabban Shalom to heal. Now, we're going to discuss, as the first question and something which we spoke about before, in a few minutes, we're going to discuss a topic of such importance about when you do add, as we mentioned, we started to mention last week, if we do add personal requests that are relevant for a particular bracha. Over here, the question is that, do we verbalize it? Do we use our language to ask for the refuah? For instance, we say the tefillah that we insert by, that's printed in the siddurim, by refuah. Is it only that we look at the paper and we should look at the names in our mind and not say them? So, in order to understand this topic, which we'll address now because it's relevant to the other brachas as well, it's relevant to Shema Kileinu, it's relevant to the end of Shemayin Esrei when we say the Yi L'Ratzayin. So, before we get to the discussion and the point of whether you could verbalize it, there's a more fundamental question. And that is, as we mentioned last week, where to add in the bakasha. So we said a klal. We said a principle that should not in any way be altered. And that principle is to know that the way that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla formulated the brachas is that before a bracha is finished, before there's a chasimas habracha, chasima means the end of the bracha, there has to be me'ein chasima samach lechasima. There has to be some type of a statement which talks about the theme of the bracha before we conclude the bracha with the Baruch Atah Hashem. So therefore, if you notice, in the bracha of Rifa'enu, where we're discussing right now, before we say the bracha of Kikel Melech Roife Nemud Rachmanata, that's where the Hiratzain is. Why is the Hiratzain specifically inserted at that point of time? Because after you're going to conclude your personal bakasha, after you're going to conclude what you are davening for specifically, you're going to then continue in the bracha and say Kikel Melech Reife Nemo Rachmanata, which encapsulates and which sort of goes ahead and just repeats, summarizes the theme of the bracha, and then you say Baruch Atah Hashem Reife Choyle Am Yisrael. So the appropriate place in any of the brachas that you feel that you need to add, whether it's asking Hashem for extra das, or for somebody else to have extra das, or whether it's to be able to do tshuva, or it's whether to have a special, there was a person really faltered, they really went astray, and they need to fix a particular thing that they did wrong, and you want to add it in the bracha of Salach Lanu. The same formula applies. You want to add it, but it should be added only before the end of the summary of the bracha, and then you add it. Now, two really fundamental questions need to be addressed. Number one, what language do you add these things in? That's number one. And number two, should you verbalize it? Should you just think it? Or should you say it? And perhaps as a third question, how often should you do that? Let's say if you daven Shachris and Mincha. And let's say if a woman was makabel on herself to daven Ma'ariv. So do you add a personal request? And since it's pressing on your heart and on your mind, do you constantly repeat it? So here are these three questions. Number one, what language do you say it in it? Number two, do you verbalize it? And number three, how often should it be said or could it be said? So this discussion is, I'm not going to go into the details and into who says what and where it is found. Anybody wants to ask me that, I could give you the chapter and the verse of where this is coming from. This is all being taken from original sources. None of this is, of course, I'm not presenting personal thoughts, because I certainly am far from that. No, not even remotely. First of all, Lashon Kodesh has a tremendous school of Kedusha, has a tremendous impact, to the point where it's brought down that the Malachi Ashores are makirin, they're makir, they recognize in a very significant way Lashon Kodesh. So if a person could possibly formulate their tefillos in Lashon Kodesh, and by the way, they should not be lengthy, because if you're going to be mispal for something that you really are in need of, and it's pressing against you, and it has literally uprooted your sanity, and you need to ask the Eibush, there's no one else you could turn to, no one else you should turn to, other than Hashem, you have to be careful. The Mishnah Berurah writes, the request has to be made clear. You have to think about it. You have to think before you make the request. You have to formulate it. And it should be in a way where it's succinct but clear, not lengthy, because you do something in a way which is very lengthy, you're going to lose your train of thought for the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. And it becomes very, some people daven very long Shemoneh Esreis, and that's something which could be, detrimental to some. Because we need to keep our, a person only has a certain amount of attention span, even when they're davening. You have to be aware of that. So two things. Number one is l'chatchila. It could be said, it should be said in Lashon Kodesh. However, if that doesn't work, which perhaps it doesn't work for most people, because they can't articulate themselves, they can't find the words that most aptly describes what their feeling is. So yes, you could say it in any language. You could say it in English. Because what happens is that when you talk to the Eibishter and you use your own words and you use the words that are flowing from your heart and you use the words that really describe the depth and it encompasses what you're really feeling. You know what the ikkar is? Rachmana libaboy. The Rabbeinu Shloilam values and cherishes the tefillos that are said. You know what? I'm going to share with you a terminology. Mikirois libaboy. Mikirois libech. When tefillos and requests and pleas to the Eibishter come from the depths of the most pure area in a person's heart, that's what most significantly impacts the Eibishter on his Kisei HaKavod. Mikiris Libay. So sometimes that cannot be accomplished in Lashon Kodesh. If we're Israeli, maybe it certainly can. But if we're not, and we're not fluent, and what really marks the real powerful tefillos, so it should be said that way. So far we have. Could it be said in Lashon Kodesh? Preferably, certainly preferably. If it can't, to be said in English. Should it be long? It should not be lengthy. It should not be lengthy. Now, how often should that be said? Should that be said every day? Every tefillah? So, without getting into the details, every tefillah can present a halachic problem. Because Chazal, the Chachamim were very cognizant that certain tefillahs should not become, even in your mind, as part of the regular nusach of Shemoneh Esrei. It should not be considered as if this is the text of your Shemoneh Esrei. This is your go-to request every single time you daven. So therefore, the Sfarim bring down. It's certainly, if you have a particular quest, do it once a day. That's what it's brought down. They bring down once a day, once a week. But something is pressing on us. We're begging the Eibishter to make somebody smart, to make wise decisions. We're asking the Eibishter, Refuah could be said every day at every tefillah. Why? Because that has become the nusach. That has become the nusach of the actual tefillahs. It's brought down. So it could be said with words. The other place that could be said with words as well is in the brach of Shema Kileinu. But what's preferable? To say it at the appropriate bracha, that's what you're focusing on? Refuah, Slicha. A person wants to see, begging to see Mashiach. Say Mispal for that. Yishlaim Ircha. Whatever is on your mind. You want Yeshua, Tzemach David. Whatever might be on your mind. So, even though the brach, each bracha represents a different theme, So you have a choice. Shema Kaleinu is the place where all requests could be made. All requests could be made. And in Shema Kaleinu, it's brought down, a person could actually verbalize. In the other brachas, a person, it's brought down from the Arizal, a person just think to themselves what they want, but not verbalize it. But regarding the bracha of Rifa'enu and Shema Kaleinu, and after the last, right after the first Yilu Ratzon, after the second Yilu Ratzon, it's brought down, the second Yilu Ratzon at the end of Shemayin Esrei, before you step out the three steps of Isa Shalom B'mraimav, that also you could verbalize at that point of time. But if you're going to make a request of the Rabbeinu Shlomo for tshuva, for slicha, for whatever, for das, we know now that where should it should be placed, and how often it should be placed, and if it should be verbalized. So once again, just to, since this is such an important topic that I believe that many of the ladies are very interested in. So lechatchila, Lashon Kodesh. Once, what it brought down over here, once a day. Once a day, could be every day, once a day. Could be, you could switch off the tefillah, say you're asking the Eibishter. It should be also said without a lengthy bakasha. Should be said just to the point, once again, to preserve a person's kavanah. And where should it be said? We said several possibilities at the bracha, Shema Kaleinu, after the second Yilu Ratzon, where, and we spoke about where it should be verbalized, where it can be verbalized, and where it should remain the machshava. So, if there are any questions about this, I think that this is such an important topic, which actually, if I may say, was one of the motivating factors of the invitation to speak about in Yonei Tefillah. So I just want to make sure that we have a clarity, and if I need to explain something or address a question, I think we should do that now before we go further.
I have a question.
Yes.
I just want to clarify and understand from Rabbi Eisen in Slach Lanu, or in any Yeshua Bakasha, that should be just in the mind and not verbalized. The only verbalized is in Shema Kaleinu and Yehi Ratzon. Otherwise, a person should just think it.
Yes, that's what I saw in the Sfar. And
Okay.
that's what's b'shem the Arizal.
And if Rabbi Eisen is saying once a day, does it matter if it's Shacharis, Mincha, or Maariv?
No. Maariv for women, I would not suggest it, because Maariv even for a man is a reshus. So I believe that Shacharis and Mincha would be the what would be Yomali. I didn't see this anywhere, but my heart tells me that it should either be Shacharis and Mincha.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, Rabbi Eisen?
Sure.
Going back to Atta Chonein L'Adam Da, so where would you think it? Obviously, you're not going to say it now, but where in that bracha particular
Okay. So
would
let's,
you?
if we, let's open up the most basic sefer that we have. But I want to tell you something about a sefer, about a sitter. I want to tell you an incredible story. The Chofetz Chaim's mother's sitter went to the Chofetz Chaim's sister by the Yerusha when the Chofetz Chaim's mother was Nifteres. After the Chofetz Chaim's sister was Nifteres, one day his niece knocks on the door to come to see her beloved uncle. And she comes with the sitter of her mother, in other words, her grandmother's sitter. And she said, my mother had this all the years. I believe you should have it now. The Chofetz Chaim, it's brought down, took the sitter. Whether he cried or not, wasn't there, I don't know. But the Chofetz Chaim took the sitter. And he kissed it. And he held it close to his heart. And he said, in this sitter, I attribute anything that I ever accomplished. You hear this, ladies? In this sitter, he says, this sitter, this beloved sitter, is if I accomplished anything, this is where it came from. And obviously the pages were saturated, mitreirin, with bechi. We don't cry. We're not criers. Maybe our mothers, our grandmothers were criers. We're not criers. But you know what we are? We could daven with kavana. Because as I once, I believe I might have said it, Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes that the word bechi and Lev are the same gematria. So a sitter is great. So getting back to your question, so a sitter is not just it's not just a sitter. A sitter is what comprises the Nishmas Yisrael, davening. So over here, if we look at Atachayin, so we have the Nusach of the Bracha, Atachayin Lamdas Muhammad Lanishbina. Before we say Chanenim Yitchadei Bin Vahaskel, that would be the place to ask. Why? Let's understand it. Let's understand the purpose of this shiur is not only to be able to take yedius and share it with the chasheva ladies that are on the Zoom. It's to understand the fundamental principles and the yisoides, the foundation, the founding principles of the heilige tefillah that we have, of the holy tefillah that we have. So over here, we're adding in before we say Chanenim Yitcha, because take a look at the structure of the bracha. Because the Chasimus HaBracha is Baruch Ata Hashem Chanen Adas. The Me'ein HaChasimus Samach LaChasima is Chanenim Yitcha Dei Bin Vahaskel. So that would be the right place to add it. Am I clear? Ladies?
Yeah.
I'm
Yes.
clear?
Thank
Okay,
you.
very good. Okay, so let's go a little further.
I think there's one question, if the Rav has time, from Suri Hertz.
Yes. Yes, you can, please.
Oh, Suri, we can't hear you.
I think you have to unmute. I don't hear you.
Maybe you could write your question in the chat box, because we can't hear you.
Any ladies here? I don't hear.
No,
Sorry,
that's
maybe
down.
you need to turn your volume up on your computer. Perhaps it was down.
No, sorry, we can't hear you.
What you can do is that you could have the option of writing it in, or maybe call one of the other ladies, and they'll call them on their phone, and they'll ask the question for you. But meanwhile, we can go further, and I'll be happy to stop as soon as you're able to communicate your question. Okay. So the next bracha is Birchas Hashanim. Baruch Aleinu, Parnasa, Parnasa. Parnasa is something which is on the mind of everybody. And one of the things that we have to understand, Parnasa is a field for the Bakat, is field to the Eibishter. And you know what it is? It's really stating something that Rabban Shem, I believe that you are in charge of my parnasa. That means that when you're nervous and you're pensive about going in for a raise, or if you get a call from your supervisor or from a boss, whether it's you or your husband or whoever it might be, the first thing to know that it's not the person. The person has nothing to do with your parnasa. Zero, double zero, triple zero. And when we say Baruch Aleinu, when somebody's in need of parnasa, this is the bracha that you have to pour out your heart to the Eibishter. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of everything, every penny that we have, every penny that we will have. And that should be the kavana. The kavana, it's a time that as we daven, Birchas Hashanim, right? As we daven, blessing the year of prosperity. There is a key word over here. You know what the key word over here is? V'sa be'enu mitu vecha. It's your toiv. It's your beneficence. It's your showering us with prosperity. It's you, Eibishter. It's no one else. Anyone else might be shluchim, but it's not anyone else. And that is a very powerful kavanas halev to have when you say Baruch Aleinu. And remember what we said from the Avodraham. Commensurate with the amount of kavana is the effectiveness of your tefillah. The more kavana, the more you try to focus and be able just to understand the words of what we're saying, and you synthesize your mind and your heart together, that's the effectiveness of the bracha. Now, with finishing Baruch Aleinu, ladies, we are beginning a new series of tefillahs. Till now was personal tefillahs. Atah Choneinu, Solachnu, Hashiveinu, Baruch Aleinu. Now, remember, we're talking about the middle section of the Shemoneh Esrei. But now we are beginning a section of Kibbutz Golias. That's the title in the Art Scroll Siddur. If you look, Gathering of the Exiles. Now, this bracha over here, Tekah B'Shofar, is different than Goel Yisrael. Goel Yisrael was for personal geula, according to the way Rashi understands it. Over here, this is talking about the geula of Klal Yisrael. Secondly, in the bracha of geula of Goel Yisrael, we speak about the Rabban Shem removing our troubles, remedying our tremendous anxiety of what we have to endure because we're in Golus. Over here, this bracha is meant to focus on the Geula Shleima, not only on our daily problems, the Geula Shleima. It's meant also not only to address physical crises, it's talking about spiritual. When the Rabban Shem is going to bring and be make it l'cheruseinu, we are now not in freedom. There are many challenges, spiritual challenges. We have Yetzer Hara that surrounds us, that goes along with us every step of the way, that fadreis our cup, that makes us crazy. And we're asking the Rabban Shalom, you know what? When the Rabban Shalom is going to bring the ingathering of the Kibbutz Golias, we're going to have. There's going to be a different world, as described in the Psukim of Navi, of many of the Nevi'im, Misnabe, for the era of the Messianic era, they called Yechezkel and Yeshaya and the Nevi'im of Trei Asar. Many of the Nevi'us were specifically addressing our Dar, the last Dar of Kibbutz Golias. And the Brachas of Kibbutz Golias is very clear. The other Bracha just kept skipping a little bit ahead, of realizing what the primary really siman of ending our Golus in Yerushalayim Ircha. But there are several brachas in between. So some of those brachas in between really are setting the stage for the incoming of Golus. Now, these three or four brachas, I must tell you, a person could get very, disconnected, but I have to do, okay, I understand we're in Golus, I understand we're asking the Rabban Shem to finish Golus, but what, it's sort of like, here you are pushing, there's a personal davening for Selicha, and Tshuva, and Parnassah, and for Refuah. And then all of a sudden comes this Kibbutz Golias, which sort of puts you down. Whoa. It's like the momentum is perhaps compromised. I need to read you an excerpt of Maseilas Yesharim. It's life-changing. It's life-altering. Usually, I remind myself of this during the 3 weeks. But why do we have to wait to the 3 weeks to remind ourselves? Already we have an opportunity to talk about these brachas, which are part and parcel of the Shemay Nesrei. Let me read to you, and let me translate to you a incredible words and fabulous words of inspiration. The Ramchal writes, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzater writes, there is a concept of mischasidim koinoi. You hear this, ladies? Incredible concept that you're doing the Rabban Shalom a favor. That sounds absurd. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. We're doing the Eibishta a favor, says the Ramchal. Yes, a human being can. A human being can be mischasidim koinoi, can show kindness to the Eibishta. How? How can somebody show kindness to the Eibishta? By feeling that and realizing and thinking and maybe introducing into ourselves, at least during the time that we're saying this bracha, some angst in the heart. Tsar. Angst. An uncomfortable feeling. Ala golos ala churban. The Rabbanu Shloim, al golos ala churban. You know why? Because the golos and the churban diminishes the covet of Hashem Kvayachav. There's a hidden, we don't see. These barbaric animals treating those hostages the way that we saw. Shouldn't there be, just like what happened during the Zman of Sancheirif, that the Rabban Shalom just killed 100,000 of Sancheirif's army on the spot? Where is the Yad Hashem? The Yad Hashem being noikim, revenging the blood of the travesty and what has happened since then, 483 or 484 days later. The Rabban Shalom's covered. The Rabban Shalom's in Golis. The Rabban Shalom's open, manifest power is covered. These are the brachas that we're asking. Rabban Shalom, show the world, reveal yourself. Show that there's an Eibishta with a din v'cheshbon, and that there's not less din v'less dayin. And there's not, where's the judge? Where's the judgment? These are the brachas that we're now in front of, says Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, that we're realizing, and v'yis'ava la ge'ula. Yeah, once in a while we say, Rabbanu Shalom, bring a ge'ula, so you could have your covet back, so your great honor could be restored, your power and your godliness could be tangible and visible, and being able to be seen by the entire, V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, B'yoymahu, let the B'yoymahu come about. That's the brachas that we are dealing with. And the Ramachal says, and if you're going to say to yourself, and you're going to say to yourself, who am I? Listen to the words of the Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzater. Mi ani umo ani. Who am I and what am I? I'm going to ask the Rabbeinu Shlalem. I'm going to, Rivki and Leah and Chana and Yossi and Chaim and Yitzi, we're going to ask, we're going to be able to bring the Geula. So as writes the Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, he says a person has to know. The answer is, a person was created as one individual. Hashem didn't create a whole world at one time. He created one Adam. And you know why he created one Adam? To tell you that a person has ability as an individual. And that is the secret of these brachas. The secret of the brachas of Tekeh B'Sofer. The secret of the brachas, Hashiva Shaiftenu Kvarishayna, Bring back the Chachamim, v'yayatzeinu, bring back the Sanhedrin, bring back a Beis HaMikdash, bring back the leaders of Klal Yisrael, that bring back the Nevi'im, bring back the ones that could give us clarity and lead us and solve our problems and take us to the next level of godliness. These are the brachas that are all in front of us each and every day. Starting with the Kabbalah Shofar and Hoshiva Shoftenu, we're asking the Rebbeinu Shel, we need leadership. We need holy leadership that had an Urim V'Tumim, that had godly revelation in everything that they did and everything that they said, and be able to share that with us, with the people. Imagine going to a Beis HaMikdash, ladies, and having the trouble. And you go to a Kohen, and the Kohen says, listen. He looks at you and he says, you know what? I'm going to tell you how to solve your problem. I'm going to tell you what the Rebbeinu Shel wants from you. I'm going to tell you how to improve yourself. Could you imagine that? That's what we're asking for when we say Hashiva Shavtenu. And the next bracha of Lama Alshinim was the 19th bracha. The 19th bracha was instituted after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, when Rabbi Gamliel, the second Rabbi Gamliel, was the Nasi. And there were terrible factions in Klal Yisrael that led us astray. But those factions no longer exist. But you know what? Detractors, people that pour cold water on our enthusiasm and positivity of Yiddishkeit do exist. And that's why they did not remove, even after all these sects and Klal Yisrael, the Tzedokim and this and all the other side sects that went along with the Baisusim, all those other fray sects, even though they don't exist anymore, but they're those that can really impose and inflict wholesale damage on Klal Yisrael. That's who we're being mispiled for, to protect us from them. And then we say, Ala Tzadikim, and that's again the bracha. The Hoshiva Shevtenu and the Ala Tzadikim are really the two parts, two brachas that we ask the Rebbeinu Shlom for leadership, for clarity, to be able to give us advice, for guidance, to be mispiled for the Chachmei Adar, for guidance, and to help us be able to navigate, to give us the ways and the Google Maps of life. But we understand, and that's why at the end of the Bracha of Ala Tzadikim, we finish Ki Becha B'tochnu, as much as we are asking for Chachamim and Tzadikim and Chasidim, at the end of the day, we ask a bunch of, this is a Bracha. This Bracha, ladies, the bracha of Ala Tzadikim is the opportunity to be mechazik yourself in betochen. It's to say, Rebbeinu Shel, what is the difference between emunah and betochen? Emunah is that we believe that there's a God that runs the world. You know, betochen is emunah applied. Listen to this, emunah applied. I have a very close friend, a doctor, Dr. Mark Kaufman, and he once said an incredible definition of how to relate to betochen and emunah. Emunah is believing that everything's from Hashem. You know what betochen is? How do I fit into the picture? Betochen is, I have betochen that the Rebbeinu Shel is going to open worlds for me. I have betochen I'm going to get parking on Coney Island Avenue on Erev Pesach when I need to go shopping. Betochen is how the Rebbeinu Shel, how am I going to find the dress for my daughter when I go shopping and not go out of my mind? That's betochen. How does Hashem's providence fit into my world? And you know when you say the bracha. Listen to this bracha. Listen to this incredible bracha. And how many times we say about it, how many times we talk about betochen. And you ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, give us reward for really having the full reliance upon you. We say it three times. This is what this bracha is about. Being mechazik, telling the Eibishter, you know what we want? We know that we need tzaddikim and chassidim to lead us. But ultimately, ki b'cha b'tochnu, our life is dependent. Our life is based. Our life rests upon the Eibishter. It rests upon the Hashem. Ki b'cha b'tochnu. We believe in you. And then we get up to Yushalayim. Yushalayim asking for the Rabban Shem, asking for the Gula. Yushalayim, there's such a world. Yushalayim HaKadosh, where there's no Beis HaMikdash. And we're asking the Rabban Shem for a Beis HaMikdash. We're asking the Rabban Shem to bring the Gula. And to think for a moment, to close your eyes and to think of a Beis HaMikdash and to think of Shechina B'Galusa, as the Ramchal writes, how the Rabban Shem is driven away from his table, how they're driven away out of his palace. And we ask, as the Rambam says, that one of the things that we're going to establish a Melech HaMashiach, and we're going to establish a Melech, and the Melech is going to come from Malchus Beis David. And that's why the bracha includes the Chisei David Meir L'Seichotochen, because before we have the establishment of Yerushalayim and a Beis HaMikdash, we have to establish a Melech, and that Melech is going to be able to rule in Yerushalayim, in the Makom HaMikdash. So that's this bracha. But all these brachas that have to do with Kibbutz Goliath, the ingathering of the exiles, and asking the Rabban Shalom for Chachamim, and asking them to reveal himself, and telling the Rabban Shalom, we rely on you. We believe in you. We're asking for Yushalayim of what it represents, Yushalayim where the Pasuk says, Leman tiyet yiras Hashem kol yimei chayecha, that the Pasuk tells us, you come to Yushalayim and all your sveikis, all of our doubts, all of our downs in our spirituality becomes lifted up. We come back, we walk away. We walk away from Yerushalayim uplifted. We walk away Yerushalayim with our suitcases filled. That was the purpose of Aliyah LeRegel, to going up to the Regel three times to the Beis HaMikdash during the course of the year. We fill our bags, but that's only when the Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, the Holy Yerushalayim, is built with a Beis HaMikdash and Kohanim, and the spirituality is able to be felt, is tangible in the air. That's what we're asking for. And then comes the bracha of Es Tzemach. Es Tzemach over here is awaiting for Mashiach. Kishemachnisim Adam Ledin. We don't know much about what happens after we pass away from this world. But one of the things Chazal makes sure to tell us, there's a short test. And there's several questions. First question, were you Erlich? Were you honest? Were you honest in your dealings with people? Did you represent what you really needed to represent in an honest way? Gnosis v'nesata be'emunah. Did you deal with people honestly? But you know what one of the questions are? Tzipisa Yeshua. Did you really await for Mashiach to come? Did you ever think about it? Did you ever ask Hashem? We live in such a miserable gullus. You know what has happened to Klal Yisrael in the last year and a half? How Klal Yisrael, how Eretz Yisrael has been uprooted? Has there so many tragedies? Klal Yisrael is in shambles. And what about the amount of Yisoyimim and Yisoyimus? What about the amount of illness? What about the amount of deaths? And families being bereaved and bereft of loved ones. We live in such a difficult gullus. So many of our daughters and sons just straying, just drifting. Don't we want, and the Rebbe Hashem is going to ask us, did you ever think about being mechake, being tzipisa? You know what tzipisa means? Did you await? Did you anticipate? Did you emotionally want Mashiach to come? Did you ever ask me? Did you ever say the words and really ask me and ask and say, Eibishter, Tata? There's so much pain in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael have gone through so much over the doiros. They're going to ask us that question. Everyone gets to ask this question. Kishemachnisim Adam, when a person is brought lifnei kisei hakavod, they're going to ask him, tzipisa leYeshua? Did you await? Did you anticipate Mashiach's arrival? Okay. So now we know. We are davening Shemini Esrei. This is what I say. This is my thesis. This is my humble thesis. I think I've mentioned this. To ask people to do more Kabbalahs. Oh, I'm going to be Mekabbal this. I'm going to be Mekabbal that. I'm going to have this Kabbalah. We have so many Kabbalahs that we lose cheshbon. We write it down on papers and we lose cheshbon to all the Kabbalahs. That's why I say, don't be Mekabbal new things, but what you're doing, do it better and bigger and nicer. If we're already saying the bracha of Estzamach, don't we want to utilize the bracha to its fullest potential and ask Hashem and be Mekayim and fulfill and be able to one day, if we stand in front of the Kisei HaMishpat and they ask us, see, peace of Yeshua, and you say, Rabbi Shalom, yes, every time I davened, I asked you to please send Mashiach. Take us out of this bitter and finster and this dark gullus. Ah, but also the Arizal writes, you know, it also means Kil Shuasacha, Rabbanishloilam. I have so many issues. I have challenges in front of me, health challenges, financial challenges, other challenges. Kil Shuasacha, with all my tumbling, with all my ishtadlus, with all my going and searching for answers. You know what, Eibishter? Here's a second kavana. Kilishuasacha. You yourself send me the Yeshua. You tell me, open up my eyes and tell me where I should go. Which direction should I follow? That's kilishuasacha. That's a second kavana. So one kavana in Estzemach is a very straightforward kavana. Anticipate and ask the Eibishter to send Mashiach. No, ladies, we want Mashiach now. Not such a bad, very important request. We want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait. Hilshuascha, Rabbeinu Shalom, we recognize that the answer to every problem and every challenge and every crisis, Le'olenu, Hashem Yishmerenu, is you, Kil Shuasecha, not Kil Yeshua, Kivinu Kil Shuasecha, your Yeshua, and not to the exclusion of really anybody else. Then comes the third and most sublime and very spiritual kavana of Estzemach, and that's what we said for the Merachal. From Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, Rabbi Shem, I understand that you're in Golis also. Your kavod is rolling in the ground. You're away from your palace. There's Shechinta b'Golusa. There's a Shechin in Golis. There's an Av she'nigrash. There's a Melech that was thrown out from his palace. So therefore, Rabbi Shem, listen to this kavana. Kilishuasecha. Your Yeshua, Kvayachal, your saving, where your covered will be your revelation. Vayashem lamelach, kivinu kol hayom. Rabbanu Shalom, I'm waiting for the moment where we could see the Rabbanu Shalom in his full glory, in his full, the Rabbanu Shalom is megala like he did on Har Sinai, but much more. He'll reveal himself. We'll be able to feel and be lifted up and be changed by the spiritual aura of the Rabbi Nishlam's presence among us in a manifest, open way. We're asking the Rabbi Nishlam, Rabbi Nishlam, you know what? From time to time, I think about it. I think about ending your galus. So three kavanas, ladies. See, peace of the Yeshua. Kilishuasacha, my challenges, my problems, my answers, as Arizal said, is going to be dependent upon you. And then, yes, there's a third, very sublime, very spiritual, very holy, very sacred kavana. Klishuasacha. Rabbi Nishlam, I have you in mind. Tata, Tata Zisa, my beloved father, my beloved dear father. When is your Yeshua going to come? Okay, so now we have to ask, we turn to the ladies like this. It's now 2 minutes after 10. I just finished Es Tzemach, and most likely I have another about 15, 20 minutes. I want to cut where I have to cut, but I don't want to necessarily burden everybody with another share because I don't know if it's going to be a full share, half a share. I don't know the schedule of the ladies. So I am stepping back now and allowing these chashuva group of ladies to make the decision of what you would like me to do. I believe I didn't say anything superfluous because the purpose of the share was to go through the brachos of Shemaine Esrei and be able to be perhaps a little bit more aware of our potential of what we could do and what we could be makaven, and as what we said before, to utilize the words that we're saying anyway. We're saying the words, but to maximize on what we could take out of the words with a little bit of extra thought. So I'm waiting to be directed. So you tell me what you want me to do.
Could I say something?
I opened up the invitation. It would be pretty silly for me not to say you could, you can't.
First of all, I want to thank Rabbi Eisen so much because I know, I mean, I've done this before with Rabbi Eisen and it's been life-changing for me. And I hope everybody, I'm sure they did get the most out of it and they will and it will continue. It is a process and it takes a lot. I have notes in my notebook, but I have you in my sitter. Things that you've said, and I say it every day, and it's life-changing. So I could just tell everybody it takes time, but it's kedai to continue. And I do think if everybody's in agreement to continue on, because I know Rabbi Eisen has a lot more to say. Like I've been through the ending, and I think it's kedai to continue if everybody wants to go to another session.
We do another week, maybe?
Another week.
Yes,
Another week.
we
So we're
can
not
because
rushed. No, not, but we're all
right now
rushing
the way that
now.
the calendar works out, but I just want to add on something with Mrs. Lippman said about a process of time. I want to read to you something that the Machaber of Pathways to Prayer writes, something really incredible and literally what was just said now by Mrs. Lippman. And this is what he writes. When I went to Moran HaGoyim, Rav Elazar Shach, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, for an approbation, for haskama, for the sefer that I was writing, he told me that I must advise people that they cannot grasp this entire work at once. That they cannot grasp this entire work at once. Rather, says the Moiron, says the leader of our previous generation of Shach, rather they should take one bracha at a time, and after mastering it, go on to the next bracha. Meaning, that's his Eitzah. But I think the concept is exactly what was just said now. There's a lot to internalize. There's a lot to incorporate. You do it at your own pace, and don't think that boom, there's going to be a life altering, changing. If many times you're trying to chop everything at once doesn't become sustainable. So yes, and the way that the calendar comes out, the way that the calendar is laid out, it's going to get a lot busier over the next few weeks. It's not going to be a lot busier in a few weeks from now. Once we're close to Purim, which is 6 weeks from now, it gets very busy. So if you'd like to set up a share, either next week or the week after, I don't believe I have a appointments then, and you'll tell me, because there is quite a number of things, and then maybe we could do a 10-minute summary of a lot of the things that we spoke about at the end. So if you'd like, we could schedule another share, but it's totally up to the women because the purpose, it's by the people, for the people. So you tell me.
Another share for sure.
I definitely think what we're hearing is as a continuation.
Okay. Rabbi, could I just ask a question for Suri Hertz, who couldn't
Sure,
get her?
sure, sure.
The question was by Rifa Einu.
Are we supposed to just daven at that time for people in dire need of refuah? Or like a lot of times we have lists, we have lists that are maybe not dire need. Do they have to be the ones in dire need or?
So the answer is that really, even if we don't have anyone in mind in particular that we know of, Baruch Hashem, that is in a dire need, but there are people in dire need beyond who we know about. The only concern that I have, if that is the list is a list of 30, 40 people, what happens is that you lose track, you lose focus. I believe that is most probably more productive in terms of kavana to take certain names that are really that you know for sure needs refuas. Add those names, add a few more names, but and maybe those other names that are not in such dire need but need some type of refuah, do it twice a week, do it once a week, do it at a time where you're gonna make a cheshbon. The primary focus is to preserve your kavana. We don't have unlimited attention. We know that. Our minds float. Our minds scan. Our minds are all over the place. Like somebody once, the joke here has it that somebody, finished davening shacharis and the Rebbe went over them and says, Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Aboyim. He says, "What do you mean, Bruchim?" He says, "I saw you davening Shemoneh Esrei. It looked to me like you were coming from Florida, from California, from Eretz Yisrael. You were staring into space." The point being is that we don't want to make ourselves too cumbersome and too burdened in a way where we're not going to be mechaven. Okay, so that really is the answer. That's the short answer. So you'll tell me, ladies. You could reach my wife and however you've been communicating till now, and tell her what date will be most serviceable for for the women.
Can I
Can
ask
I?
a quick question?
Sure.
Rabbi Eisen, for oh, okay, you go first. You go first.
Oh no, it's okay. You could go ahead.
Rabbi Eisen, for a semach David, is that those machshavas are supposed to be verbalized, or that should also
No,
be
not
in the mind?
verbalized. Thought.
Okay, thank
Thought.
you.
Oh, I have a quick question also. If you mind wanders, could you go back, not repeat the words, but go back in your machshava to what you said just before?
The halacha is like this, a very interesting din. We spoke about last week when we started the first bracha, which brachas is called avos. And we spoke about the chashivas of the bracha, the fact that it's indicative in the bracha itself. It starts with Baruch, it ends with Baruch. It's the bracha that the Gemara says is li'kuva, that if you don't have kavana, you don't have kavana of the words, you don't have kavana, the proper kavana, you have to repeat it. Halacha lemaisa is you don't repeat it. You know why? An interesting reason the Chafetz Chaim says, because who says you have kavana the second time you did it? You do it. That psak itself is very telling. It's very telling that the Chafetz Chaim, besides being the goyin and knowing Kol HaTorah Kula, the entire Torah, he was so practical. He understood that, the same lack of attention that we paid the first time, we could pay the second time also, and then we don't gain anything. So sometimes if you really, really feel that you didn't have any kavana and you like lost cheshbon of even where you're davening, so you go back to the place where you know for sure you got up to. But just start doubting yourself. Did I have kavana? Didn't I have kavana? Maybe I was thinking, maybe I wasn't thinking. I'm just afraid that it creates a certain nervousness. It creates a certain anxiety, which is not healthy. Let me tell you an incredible story that I heard with my own ears from my holy Rebbe, Rav Pam. I was standing in line after Shacharis to wait to speak to him. And a bacher asked him the question. That he asked him a question about a certain conduct in the middle of davening. And he says, "Rebbe, I'm nervous." So I'm going to tell you exactly what I saw with my own eyes, Rav Pam. His glasses were a little bit lower on the bridge of his nose. He lifted up his holy, pure eyes and said to the boy the following. He said, "The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want you to be nervous when you daven. Just do what you have to do and don't think about it further. Don't be nervous." His message was very clear. We don't want to serve the Eibishter out of nerves. And what I'm afraid that being that kavana is so sometimes difficult to ascertain or to assess whether you really did or whether you didn't. If you start doubting yourself, if you're sure, so then go back to where you know for sure you were not mechaven at all. But if you aren't sure, if you're not, you don't want to introduce into your psyche, you don't want to introduce into yourself a level of doubt and nervousness. It's not worthwhile. It's not worthwhile to do that. The next Shemoneh Esrei, you'll be more focused. You know, making brachas with kavana, I'm in the middle of a project with somebody making brachas with kavana. And you know, you make a lot of brachas during the day. And you know what? And there's some brachas that you just shoot out of your mouth. So you know what I say? Oh, I shot this one. I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to do better next time. The main thing is never beat yourself up. Never beat yourself up. You want to serve the Eibishter, you serve the Eibishter with a positive drive and not out of doubt and not out of guilt, not out of, you know, just a positive. That's what creates the relationship with the Eibishter.
Thank you. Wow.
Okay, ladies, have a good Vach, and you'll tell me when you want to do the next share, either the next month of Shabbos or the Shabbos month of Shabbos afterwards, depending upon everybody's, the schedule of most of the women. Okay, have a wonderful week. Should be zeicher to be able to be mechav in our tefillos.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,